Welcome to the Journeyman Cave, a podcast where we meet and chat with some of boxing's most seasoned road warriors, hosted by Mark Shakespeare and Chris Scarfe.
Welcome back to the Journeyman Cave, everybody. Episode 7. Mr. Shakespeare, how are you doing?
Not bad at all, mate. Come to the first series, the end.
Yes, I know when we started this, we had this first sort of batch, didn't we, of sort of 6 or 7 episodes. The aim, I think, was to just see how it went. And I don't know about you, but I think it's exceeded my expectations.
Well, first of all, mate, I'd like to thank you because you know how nervous I am and I didn't really want to do this. And to be quite honest, I'm over the moon with how many people listen to it and feedback we've had. And, you know, every message means worlds to me when we're getting messages.
We've had some really good feedback and, you know, like we appreciate every single listen, don't we? Because, again, I weren't sure what we should expect. I don't think we had any expectations and it's been brilliant. You know, the fact that people are taking the time to listen to us too. And I think we also need to thank our producers and editors, James Proud and more recently Ryan Carrier, because without them, I dread to think what it'd be like if it were left to us too. Probably sound like his microphones were in the toilet.
I'd like to thank you as well, mate, for your social media side, because I ain't got a clue on all that, mate. We aren't you doing social media as well.
To be fair, I ain't either, but it is what it is. So, episode 7, Ryan Hardy. What do we need to know about Ryan?
Well, I think everyone knows about Ryan already, don't they?
Yeah.
But it's a good one to go out with end at first series. The guy is just an absolute legend. His antics in the ring, you know, kissing people. It's great stuff. He's an absolute... just so funny, and I think people will enjoy this one. Light-hearted, like you said, not the longest one, but probably it'll just fly by, and I think people will really enjoy this one. And
yeah, I really enjoyed talking to Ryan, and I would, like you say, we're just laughing. And I mean, I suppose we should explain as well, we keep saying the end of the season, we're not going anywhere. Like we say, we thought we'd get these first ones done, see how it goes. We've got loads more in the pipeline. I suppose the only thing that could get in the way is life, and because we've all got one. Jobs and families, and you know, and like I said, we are indebted to Jim and Rye, because that is the main work. Me and you get to do the fun bit. You get to talk to these lads.
Yeah, we do. But like you said, hopefully people are saying to us, fighters and people, listeners, they're all saying to us, please carry on, don't take a break, go straight into series 2. Now, if that's possible, we will do that.
Definitely.
Hopefully we'll be releasing the first episode of season 2 2 weeks after Ryan's, but if things get in the way, I'm sure we can let people know through social media wide or something like that. But all being well, guys, we'll be carrying on straight into season 2, and hopefully Jim and Ryan can work the magic on that for us.
Yeah, and like I say, it's as of today, it's almost a month before Christmas. Maybe it's worth reminding our good listeners that T-shirts are available. All a present for all the family, I'm sure, at Christmas. And but obviously, the links for that are in the show notes and on the socials. And like I said, just if you whatever you're listening to was on, make sure you subscribe, you like things, you get instant notifications when we have released something. Follow us on our socials. We're always posting info and updates on there. I think all being said, let's get Ryan in.
Let's do it, mate.
Thanks for coming, mate.
No problem.
First thing I'm going to ask you, Shecky tells me you fancy you sending a bit of a violin player.
I started thinking, and they might turn me on to that, yeah.
Yeah, well, anybody who's only listening, you can't see, we are in Rhythm Inc., which is a music tuition school, kindly let us record here. So, yeah, if anybody wants any lessons, I'll have to get you booked in, mate.
Yeah, I can see the old violin, Ryan.
I could do some entrance music for some people.
Yeah, I could do half, mate.
Yeah.
To be a belter, mate. So why are you going on anyway, mate? How's things?
Well, good, mate. Ticking all that we do.
What are we doing now, mate?
Working, family life. That's it, mate. Just it's the same as everyone else, really. Just day to day and get a boozer when I can.
Good lad. And so, are we into boxing at all still now, or?
Yeah, mate. I'm a boxing fan. I'm a boxing fan first. Before I even box, I'm a boxing fan. So, yeah, always keep up to date.
Good lad. We'll start beginning the career, mate. Some record to start, won it, mate? Were it 5 or 6, 7
six
wins,
in
or 6 in a row?
No, and then I lost to Dale, and then I won again, yeah.
Mm. Which then was your best fight? I'd say the first six then, mate. I'll
tell you which one was worst. Matt Seawright, absolute nightmare.
What a warrior.
Honestly, horrific to fight. I felt like I couldn't land a glove on him. He got a point deduction in that fight and all. For Holding, which I didn't think he was too bad at Holding, but he were a nightmare. He was so elusive. And to watch him from outside, you can't see it. But he was just that person that afterwards I got out of the ring and I just bolted my gum shield out. So fuming with me saying, I thought I should have done better there. But it's not that I didn't do what I should. He's good at his job. He was good at his job, wasn't he? Yeah, and look at his shape for him now. He's in wicked shape.
Oh, yeah, I've seen him. Have you seen any picture of him? He's proper ripped now.
Yeah, yeah, he's into bodybuilding and that, isn't he?
Like he says, people like that, you learn from them, mate, don't you?
My best in them six, for me, because it was a bit of a personal thing, with Dale Hutchinson.
Right.
He was a Sheffield lad, and I fought him in Sheffield, and I went to Ware Corner. So his trainer, Chris Smedley, had a bet against me.
Right.
I thought, I'll show thee, and I give him right paste.
Good lad. Good lad. That's what I like to hear, mate. One for the Ware Corner. Do you have Nesbitt in your first six as well?
Yeah. I boxed Nesbitt, and got such an hard head. Every time I hit him, it was like headbutting my glove. I pissed Nesbitt off, and all by accident, totally by accident. I'm just an antagonistic person, so probably not.
Like to entertain, isn't that? That's for sure, mate.
Well, I've hit him, I turned him, and as he's gone past, I pushed him off. He's gone to the floor. I've started counting him. I think it was Michael Alexander, referee. Why, you're fuming because I've started counting for him. I'm only joking about that. I know it weren't a knockdown, but I thought, you've got to have a laugh, aren't you?
I told you to watch a couple, but you never got round to it, did you?
Can't remember.
That was always an entertainer, Ryan, at ring, wasn't that? They enjoyed this end, didn't they?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I fought Nathan Dale in Norwich, something like that. And his manager, I told him before, I said, listen, I'm going to teach our lads some things, you know. He just kept laughing at me, and all through, I think it was 6-3s, all through 6-3s, I was having a conversation with manager.
They're always in them little shuffle or something like that. Tapping on back, giving little kids or something like that,
Well, from the start of my career, I always had this little thing. I said to Shauna, every fight, I'm going to try and get in. Now, that little Roy Jones thing where he touches back of his heel. Mm. Yeah, so I tried to get that in everyone. Robbie Davis Jr. didn't give me a chance, but
yeah. What you reckon to Robbie?
I thought he was shit out. I tell you the truth, but his funny night weren't funny at the time. when he's done me, right, I've gone back to the changing rooms. I've had 10 minutes, and I went to Carl. I'm right mad with my son, Carl. He's gone, why? I've gone, I could have got up from that. He said, Ryan, you did get up, you're on your feet. But yeah, it was good. I went in that off. See, he was with Neil Marsh, and I'd already boxed Adam Little when I was with Neil Marsh.
Some fight that, wasn't it?
I thought I nicked it, to be honest. Neil was an Adam Little fight, but everyone's got their opinion. So I went in, and I thought Robbie were on a similar level to him. Fucking hell, were I wrong? Every time he hit me, fucking
I like Robbie Davis Jr. Like, he's, like you said, he's had a decent career, hasn't he? I think he's still going now, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have any time at amateurs?
Yeah, but not a lot, to be honest. I think I had 13 fights. Majority were with Ingalls. With Ingalls and then a fella called Mick Otter. I didn't really like it, to be honest. And after my last amateur fight, I fell out with boxing fully. Mm-hmm. I was still ticking, I was still training. And then, it might have been Wayne Reed, actually. He introduced me to this fella who were running unlicensed shows, and so I think I had about 20 unlicensed.
You mentioned that last night, you did mention that last night.
Yeah, we went to see Wayne last night, didn't we?
Yeah, went to see him last night. And not a good word for you, lad. Yeah. Lots of laughs in there, though, for him, mate.
There'll not be many of them anymore.
But that Adam Little fight were a belter, and all won it, mate.
Yeah. Well, I can be honest now, because I ain't got a licence, have I? So I can tell you, in second round, I cut him. And it were an horrible cut. And it looked like, because I've watched it back, obviously, it looked like a beautiful backhand. It weren't. It was full headbutt, that, mate. I just nutted him, and his eye just started pissing. But I thought, if ref's not going to call it, I'm not going to do his job for him.
No.
So,
like earlier when you were counting for him.
Well, on referees, Stephen Pearce, I'll fight Stephen Pearce. And like I said earlier, I make it entertaining. I'm always showboating. I did that a lot. It was a 10-rounder with Pearce. And about 6th round, Messer came on. And he goes, listen, stop all that dancing and just fight. And listen, get back to the corner, do your job and I'll do mine. Shit, Sean goes, Ryan, he's scoring fight.
They get a victory that night.
Yeah, yeah. For our British Masters or something.
Good lad. No mean feat, mate. But you had Stalker as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
He was long, mate. I fought Stalker after I boxed Pierce. In about 7th or 8th round, Pierce caught me. Pierce was notably quite a big puncher.
Yeah.
And he hit me in the eye. I don't know what happened. It was just black in one eye. I was just going to have to move out of the way. And I could move anyway, so I got out of the way. And we're like that for about a round and a half. And then I thought it was sound. And then I boxed Stalker next. And Stalker's not a big puncher, but he hit me in it and it did exactly the same. I thought, not again.
Yeah.
So I got out after. And I went, well, everyone says you're a non-puncher, to be honest. I goes, but you buzzed my eye. I goes, I can't see out of it. You were buzzing me.
Yeah.
And then after that, my eye was proper swollen. Sean's like icing it down. And this fella's coming. Fancy Tyrone Nurse in 2 weeks. I says, mate, I can't see.
Tyrone Nurse. Not like they'll pull me in gently, is it?
He went, you'll be all right. First time I've met you, Chris, yeah. I'll be sound.
You would definitely look after the interest then, won't you? Yeah. Oh, God. So, what best fight have I fought then, Ryan?
It'd have to be Robbie Davis, wouldn't it?
I can agree with that.
All round. But then again, I tell you what, Tetley gave me an hiding and all.
I liked Darren Tetley. I mean, I watched him a couple of weeks ago on Fury Bill, wasn't he? He stepped in.
Yeah, he was good fight as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. But that were late for you, that one. A bit of a story with that, wasn't it?
Half past one in the morning. They've said to me, you're afloat, so show starts at 7. You'll be on between 7 and 9. Make sure you're here for 7 o'clock. All right, no danger. Get to see it at 7 o'clock. 8 o'clock passes, 9 o'clock passes. I'd seen doctor, so I went on to leave venue. So I shout to my brother, he goes, go and get me something to eat. Obviously, I've not had nothing to eat. It's been for hours. So he goes, comes back, Mars bar and a Snickers. I don't like peanuts. I goes, what are you doing there? I expected something proper. And oh, I thought you just wanted something quick. I goes, well, I ain't got a choice now, have I?
God.
Yeah, came to 1:30, called as it ring. Yeah, give me an idea. I got right bulking off referee for the showboating. Just fight. He didn't like me, I don't think. But but I said to him, he says, Ryan, just fight. I says, it's 1:30 in the morning, I've had nothing to eat. Yeah, and then afterwards, I'm walking out, and I goes and speaks to Tetler, and he says, we couldn't have took that offer, could we? I was, what offer? They told me they'd still pay us and we didn't have to fight. Because no one made me that offer, mate, or we wouldn't still be here.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Just for people, like, because I'm not a massive boxing expert like Shakespeare here, but...
No, I'm not a boxing expert.
Talk us through, like, what this floating business, because we were mentioning it last night, weren't there, with Wayne and Lewis, and, you know, people, if anybody who might not know what that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. So, when you're on a TV show, it's it really is a really strict schedule. So... Your main fights will have to be at certain times, like 7 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, etc. So if someone gets stopped, a float will just dip into to fill that time slot.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
So you can just be a float or a live float. If you're a live float, you'll be on TV just to fill up the time schedule. That's basically it.
Yeah, it can be tough, though, like you said. I mean, we did go into float a little bit with Peter, didn't we?
Yeah, that was, yeah.
It's horrible being a float. Horrible.
It sounds it, yeah.
Because you've got no idea when you're on. So then you've got to sort of judge when you're going to have something to eat and you're not going to throw it up in rings, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Or you're not going to need to go to the toilet in round 3, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, do you have certain fighters who were on same bill as your regular, Ryan?
I think I mentioned it to you before. Do you know? Because you did, because you always got the same journeyman on bills. Like, you got your... C. Wright, Nesbitt, Chris...
Late.
Yep. Always got them sort of people on. They were what I really see as proper journeymen. They were, proper dedicated to the craft because yeah. they are week in, week out. And I could never do that. I couldn't dedicate myself so much that I'd be bang on weight. I couldn't walk, look at me now, I can't walk around at fucking 10 stars ever. No chance. So Stoker and Josh Lever, I boxed them at 10 stone, and I couldn't imagine making that weight now.
I can't imagine making that weight.
No, but they always look fit though, mate.
Yeah. Well, it were hard to make that them weights because I were 6 days a week, twice a day, all the time. And a lot of time, my diet weren't right, to be honest with you. Well, that's not because I didn't have help, so I can't blame it on anyone else.
Yeah.
I had the help given to me. I had a fellow called Lee Rickards, who is now, he works for Sheffield United. He does their sort of diets and that. And he was working with me for a while. And Ben Davis, he always tried to help me with diet, but I'm just not disciplined enough.
He's proper disciplined, don't he, Ben Davis?
Like, you never know. And he's so knowledgeable as well.
Yeah.
He's the sort of bloke that you can phone him up at any time of day and he'll talk you through stuff, do you know what I mean? He's a really nice bloke, yeah.
I've heard he's going to try it. I've heard rumours now that he's up to his, trying to buy some farming land and live off the land.
Is there?
Nah, he's like that now, I've heard, eh?
Not Lee Connolly sort of living off land.
No, I don't think anyone does that. I've been told to ask about Lee Connolly and by Reedy, didn't we, yesterday? Apparently we've got to ask him if he likes beef crisps.
Well,
he's been seen, apparently.
I've got a story about Lee Connolly, actually. I don't know if you know, he's from Barnsley, but I'm not saying that all Barnsley people know each other.
We do.
Ashley Ball, journalist, he used to speak to us from our gym quite a lot, probably because of Ben Davis with him. So he'll message me on Facebook and that. Aren't you going to do a little bit on Lee Connolly? He goes, yeah, because I'm going to speak to him. I goes, I can't believe that being more interested about him. No, we've been a traveller and that. He goes, what? I goes, yeah, there's a gypsy Tarmac for a living and that. He printed it.
Oh, dear.
It was fuel with Lee.
Are we getting Lee on?
Lee's coming on, yeah. Well, so I was talking to Cash, and I think he's with him now, and he's looking after Lee and Carl Samson.
He ain't signed these leather gloves.
What? Oh, no, he ain't, really. We're in big trouble now, aren't we?
I'm sure they're faux leather.
They won't be. They can't be real leather then, anyway.
Well, he wears them, doesn't
he? Yeah. He likes beef crisps and all.
What's that about beef crisps?
That's what Reedy says. Apparently so. I've got to ask
tell you
him.
What. He's a mad change from Lee because he used to train at the same gym as me. And before he went all vegan, he used to, like, 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd be at McDonald's. He used to binge eat and go to McDonald's and that. Like, he loved McFlurries and stuff like that. But nah, obviously not.
No, he's a changed man, isn't he?
Definitely.
When did you stop then? How long since?
I don't know. I was thinking about this earlier. I think. Can't remember.
We should know. We should have his record.
I think it's about 6 years. Maybe right. 5 years.
What was your last fight?
Oh, I forgot his name. And no disrespect to him. I shouldn't have ever fought. I was in a really bad mental space when I boxed him.
Yeah.
And to be honest, the only reason I took the fight is to pay my final solicitor's bill because I had a massive split up with Bird. And she rinsed me in the house and that. And my last solicitor bill, it needed paying. I took fight and I got stopped on a cut. And I was shocking. I was awful. I don't think he's done much since. Don't get me wrong, he weren't crap. But I should have done better. And because it's probably the only fight that I actually regret. Because it was my only fight at York Hall.
Yeah.
And it's our mecca, isn't it? York Hall. So, I felt like I let myself down a bit there. And after that, in my head at the time, that weren't the end. I do need a breakaway.
Yeah.
I do need to sort myself out. But then it sort of snowball effect and I went to some bad places. By the time I'd come out, I'd lost any ambition. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To be honest, when I started, I've come from my family have never had any money or all like that. So all I really wanted was enough money for a deposit for an house.
Yeah.
So I could buy my own house. And I got that and I thought, everything else after that's a bonus.
Yeah.
So I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, even though she rinsed me of that, at least I had money for another one. So, yeah.
Yeah, that isn't too bad, mate. And the brother wanted a bad little record, wasn't it, either?
Do you know, Nathan, he could punch Nathan. And I knew he was going to cause problems when they turned up. But he was different, Nathan. He was never interested in boxing at all. Never at all. He just wants to box away. he caused some upsets, didn't he, Arnef?
He did. They all have done in the... You know what I mean? All these.
And it's brilliant when it happens, isn't it?
I love it.
I do.
You know what I mean? My favourite ones were Michael Mooney sparked Sam O'Mason on Channel 5. I mean, I like Sam O'Mason.
Well, I'm supposed to fight Sam O'Mason.
And I like Sam O'Mason, but when it were on Channel 5 and that punch landed,
yeah.
Oh, that were a proper underdog story, yeah. That one. It. But I worried then because he went and fought Ben, didn't he, after?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, God. You know what I mean? He'd come off about 2 or 3 wins, Mooney. And Ben said, oh, I fancy him. Ben stopped him. I don't know if you'll come to that one.
He's moved through it. It's Andy Poacher.
Oh, God, ah.
He boxed Woodhouse, didn't he?
Yeah.
And now what's he at? Is he at?
Oh, I don't know.
Super middle, something like that.
He's doing well, though, isn't he? They all look up to him, you know.
He's one I want on here, definitely. One day.
Anyone that can just stick at it for as long as he has.
Apparently, a lot of them do go to him for a bit of advice and stuff.
Yeah,
and
they look
up to him.
Yeah.
He's a different ring walk now every week, doesn't he? Yeah. Aren't I seen him?
Yeah.
On YouTube.
Different music every time, isn't it?
Well, I think you were Holy Fools and Horses last time. He come down as Del Boy and one more Rodney.
then he
come down a week before that to surfing in USA. With a big long wig on.
Oh, I've had a few times me when they purposely play wrong music. And
have they?
No, just know when you're trying not let it get to you, but
yeah.
it's something that you're waiting for and they play it wrong when you just think. What?
I didn't know that'd be a thing. It's not one.
Did they have their own song?
No, not really. I used to just change it all the time. Whatever time would get me up for it.
Yeah.
Motivated.
And then that's what I mean. Then if I walk out and it's not, and I'm like, you fucking prick.
Did they have a nickname and all, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Only because of Carl Greaves.
I had to get it in.
Who's told you? Greaves has told you.
I'm not saying a word.
Yeah, he's no one ever said I never had a nickname. Greaves just decided to call me Ginger Bomber once.
So, he's stuck.
Yeah, so I thought, here we go, I'll have to play along with this and edit on my shorts.
He looked at him, though, Carl. So.
You know what? Everyone's had no but good words to say about Carl. And to be fair.
Brilliant, man.
He's done a lot for Barnsley as well, which I've got respect for.
Yeah.
They had both Bens, didn't he? I mean, he helped Johnny Musgrave as well. And he were able to put me in touch with Lee Connolly.
Yeah. Well, he were at Metrodome for ages, weren't he? Yeah. Does he still have shows there?
I think he wants to come back.
Yeah.
And there is a show at Metrodome in July, because I think Matty Epinstall's on it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Carl will be involved with that.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I spoke to him on the phone, he says he loved it here and he wants to bring it back if possible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he puts it, honestly. You know, Carl... He's such a big kid at heart. Like,
yeah.
So he got these smoke machine ones and he was like, how good's that? I'm good with smoke. He loves all that, yeah.
Brilliant. I've heard nothing but good about him. And he's always looked, every time I've rung him while I message him, he's always got back to me, be willing to help. It's nice to know people out there, mate. So before we finish, and then Cash is saying, what's I reckon to him?
He's an absolute nutcase, honestly.
He is, mate.
Honestly, the kid will have you laughing for days. And honestly, everyone in gym, all lads and that, he comes across as he's a bit daft and that, but he's not. He's one of the most savvy blokes you'll ever meet.
He sounded very savvy when I spoke to him yesterday.
But he's one of the nicest blokes you'll ever meet as well. In fact, we used to have a Christmas do's at an Indian that he ran.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We had some good do's there.
Yeah, we're going down there. He invited us to his gym, hasn't he?
Mm.
We're going down to see him down there. It's going to be quite good, mate, that.
Hopefully.
It's been a pleasure to speak to you, though, mate, anyway.
And you, boys. Yeah, no, thank you for coming on, mate.
Are they going to sign the gloves?
We have to sign those gloves before you leave. But,
of course I'm, mate.
Go on, I'm sure they're not a southpaw. We're a dying breed, aren't we? So we're going to do it all day.
The Journeyman Cave is produced by James Proud. Music by Ryan Carrier. Special thanks to Rhythmic Studios for hosting. All views expressed are of the guests only. The Journeyman Cave and host bear no responsibility for any opinions given. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at The Journeyman Cave.